Ms. Etree. I just want to recognize you, Dr. Feeney. You weren't here on Tuesday for the scallops, but you did a tremendous amount of work on a really spectacular effort by the staff, and I just want to thank you right up front, so I appreciate that.
Thanks very much.
Ms. Etree.
Thank you. So this is the Monkfish Report. Just a little introduction, and then we're going to get some presentations. The Monkfish Plan Development Team met on July 15th and July 20th, and they met again this week on Tuesday, the 27th. The AP and the committee met separately on the 30th. Topics we've been discussing at these meetings include the 2022 Monkfish Fishery Performance Report, which we'll get a presentation on, Framework Adjustment 13, including an update about the assessment that just occurred the week of September 20th and some implications that might have for the fishery and 2023 priorities. The PDT this week met and developed some ABC recommendations and some additional work on other parts of Framework 13. So today we're going to get a presentation on the final fishery performance report and then also an update on Framework 13. And I believe we'll get some previews from the management assessment and the peer review. And in light of that work, I will be presenting a motion for consideration after that presentation. So first item on the agenda is the performance report, and I believe Ms. Couture is going to be presenting on that.
Yeah, this is the final version of the performance report. So Ms. Couture, whenever you're ready.
Sorry, I'm just going to briefly interject. I wanted to thank the entire plan team for their work. It's been a good group to work with. I met one of them in person 10 minutes ago for the first time. we're all kind of getting acclimated to each other. It's kind of been reconstituted not that long ago. And I would like to thank everyone who was involved in this new project of creating this Monkfish Performance Report, which Jenny will present the culmination of, and then we'll get back to the framework.
Thank you. So this work started on the fishery performance report in April, where you all decided the scope of the work, after which the PDT drafted biological and fishery data. The AP reviewed all of this work and answered some of our questions that we laid out for them. The committee followed up with a review. The SSE conducted their own review afterwards, and you received an update at the June council meeting. During the summer months, the PDT included updated data and revised the report based on those reviews. The AP and committee met last month and didn't provide any additional comments. So today, I'm just presenting the final review. No action is required. The first part of the report includes an overview of the biology and the management of the fishery. There are two management areas, the north, which is integrated with the groundfish trawl fishery, and the south, which is the directed monkfish gillnet fishery. The fishery specifications are set every 3 years. You see the chart on the upper right, how the deductions are laid out. There are two different types of effort controls in the fishery: annual day at sea allocation and landing limits. There's also a discard deduction method that we're evaluating this year, which you'll hear more about through Rachel's presentation and in the coming months. We included stock status information in the fishery performance report. So in 2013, the assessment determined both management areas were not overfished and overfishing not occurring. We included information on the outcomes of the 2016 and 2019 assessment, where the growth model was invalidated due to aging issues of the fish. The biological reference points were not updated. The Plan B smooth approach ended up being used for catch advice. The stock status assessed as unknown, but was not officially changed. So based on those assessment outcomes, the species is considered not overfished and overfishing, not occurring, but you'll hear more about that from Rachel's presentation. As Libby mentioned in the intro, there was a 2022 assessment that occurred September 20th and was peer-reviewed last week. So in terms of overall effort and fishery performance, there has been a decrease in vessels with limited access permits over time. Most of the vessels do have a groundfish or scallop permit, so those are permit categories C and D. And about 9 to 20% of those vessels landed more than 10,000 pounds of monkfish. And as you'll see on the bottom left figure, or data table, it's hard to read on the screen, but hopefully you can read it better on your personal laptops. There is substantial latent effort in the fishery. But of note, the monkfish only vessels, so those permit categories A and B, used more of the day at sea allocation than any of the other permit categories. So in terms of catch, the ACL has been exceeded twice in the north, but never in the south in the past 6 or 7 fishing years. The north does have a higher TAL and trip limits, especially relative to the south. The north does have higher utilization of the TAL. In fishing year 21, 79% of the northern TAL was achieved. For the south, it's much lower, 34% in fishing year 21. The revenue has also generally declined over time, and the number of vessels dependent upon monkfish as the target species also declining over time. You'll see in the figure upper left that this shows the monthly price per pound. The overall trend is declining since 2010, but you'll notice that there's a little bit of an uptick more recently. There is a seasonal price difference, so you'll see a lower price in spring and summer and a little bit higher in the fall and winter. And for discards in the south, it was lower. Discards were lower in fishing year 20 relative to the 3 prior fishing years, but we have seen an increase in fishing year 21. Most of these discards are from the scallage dredge fishing gear that you'll see in the table on the bottom right. So overall, as discards as a percent of catch is lower in the north and a bit higher in the south, so 36 to 62% of catch are discards. In terms of fishing communities, there are 6 primary ports generating 66% of monkfish revenue, the highest revenue from New Bedford, Gloucester, and Boston. 14 secondary ports generating 28% of monkfish revenue. The greatest number of active monkfish vessels are in New Bedford, Gloucester, Point Judith, and Montauk, and Massachusetts accounts for the highest monkfish landings in most recent fishing years. The advisory panel provided a lot of great feedback and input into the report and insight into the fishery overall. They commented many times on the lack of markets and the need for domestic markets, low prices, reduced demand, and overall decrease in monkfish exports, more specifically to the Korean markets. The cost, as we all know every day, the inflation is increasing and the cost for the supply and equipment is also increasing. The shipping costs are increasing as well, and the wages, as we heard this morning, are not competitive, so it's hard to find reliable and experienced captains and crew and whatnot. There have been some regulatory changes, so effort controls have created some inefficiencies. At one point, the fishermen were allowed to what was called triple load day at sea. This has since been changed, so that's created some inefficiencies or lack of flexibility, as I should say, for the fishery. And some fishermen also commented that the low escape possession limits are constraining their fishing operations, particularly in the spring. As we heard last night, Wind energy is coming, and it is a concern for the advisory panel, along with protected resources, namely right whales and sturgeon. Fishermen commented that they're shifting more of their fishing operations more inshore, and at times choosing either not to fish or be more flexible or be more specific on when and where to fish. And some are choosing not to fish at all in the fall, given the lack of fish in the area and price issue. They provided some input on management improvement ideas, so looking at trying to manage both monkfish and skate together in one management plan as more of a limited access fishery. They expressed interest in having like a running day at sea clock in order to land whatever monkfish that are caught, and also commented not having any days at sea or trip limit use. They were cautious that because of the latent fishing effort, they didn't want to change the day at sea and the trip limits drastically or even at all, given there's potential change in latent effort, and some of that effort could become activated. In terms of research priorities, there was interest in developing domestic markets, improving pingers, so changing the frequency to help deter marine mammal interactions that they've been experiencing. And also, given the high dredge discard rate, conducting more of that research to see if that is truly the discard rate. And you'll hear more about that from Rachel's presentation as well. And for the monkfish research set-aside program, a lot of those research set-aside days at sea are not fished, mostly because of economics. And they suggested that the program remain, but given that they useful projects are provided, but there's no real economic incentive to use those research set-aside days at this time. So I just included some selected points from the various reviews over the summer for you all. Overall, between the committee, the SSE, and staff, all the groups appreciated learning more from the advisory panel and really getting an understanding of what they're experiencing on the water. There was a note that a lot of the advisory panel include members mostly from the southern area, so it would be could potentially be impacting some of this input. Though this report is final for today, for future reports, there are some recommendations to clarify the degree of latent fishing effort and how long some of these permits have been inactive, and asking the AP more from their perspective what they're experiencing on the water from the environmental effects. There was a recommendation to also not ask about research priorities from the advisory panel and to gather some of that input separately. So there are no committee motions for you all. I guess I'll stop and take any questions, but the report is considered final at this point.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we're not asking the council for any changes or approval, but if there's any questions from Ms. Couture on her presentation, take them from the council. Mr. Pierdnock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your presentation. Can you put the chart back up, or the map? You've noted that the fishing's primarily occurring in the southern area. I'm curious of where that is on that map. In general, is it near shore or offshore? And the purpose of this is that there's marine interactions, which is that seals, is it whales? And I'm curious, are we close to shore or offshore associated with these interactions? That's where I'm tying this together with the question.
Sure, great question. So for the marine mammal interactions, specifically for the pingers, it was for the seal interactions. I could look into getting more information on where exactly those are occurring for the next iteration of the report, if you're interested.
But as noted, it's primarily in the southern area?
For the protected resource interaction?
Yep.
I'll have to look into that more.
This seems to have been, as one that has lived it, from 1,500 gray seals to now 50,000 in Massachusetts state waters. And they're expanding and going beyond. I'm just curious to how far offshore these interactions are occurring. Thank you.
Well, Mike, the fishery takes place all the way out into the canyons in the wintertime, but I couldn't tell you what the interactions are. In the wintertime, those guys go all the way offshore. So I'll turn to Ms. Eitri if she wants to add anything.
I can't go to specific areas, but I just, again, want to highlight, it's at the top of the screen, just specific with the marine mammal interactions and some of the focus, especially from talking with the advisors during this scoping where they were talking about whale interactions. Southern areas, predominantly a gillnet fishery, northern areas, the trawl fishery. So from the majority of the advisors are in the southern gillnet fishery. So a lot of that discussion was centered around concerns about the next iteration of the Atlantic large right whale changes for gear changes for the gillnet fishery. And if there's no other questions, I just had one comment.
I have Mr. Salerno, then Mr. Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Jenny, for this presentation. This is quite informative. Kind of going through the presentation, and kind of struck me as odd thinking about the world of supply and demand. You're portraying that the fishery is basically shrinking, less effort, yet our price per pound being paid is going down. The industry says there's less effort, less demand. But I'm curious about the supply side, because I'm looking at the your little figure there on, I guess it's slot, you know, there you go. There's that steep drop in, and forgive me for my eyesight, sometime around between 2016, 2017, there was that significant drop really in the price. Is that potentially related to when there was a change in the monkfish, groundfish interaction where we allowed groundfish boats into the northern area to start going unlimited trip limits? I'm just curious if there is a supply issue also related into here that's not really portrayed.
That's a great observation and question. I don't know if I have the information at this time to answer it, but I'd be happy to look into it offline. We do have information on the total landings in the reports. You can see how that compares to the other years to see if it lines up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in my mind, what I'm thinking is, and this is not a detriment to the groundfish, monkfish guys in the northern area, but as we know, the more you're bringing at one time, the worse price you're going to get. So I'm just curious if, yes, we have less landings, but if we're having higher landings per vessel, per trip, that in itself theoretically could lead to a decreased, a depressed price going back to the boat. I was just throwing it out there, just curious if you guys had thought about that or looked at it. I've already even come up at during the AP discussions, but thank you.
Mr. Alexander.
Thank you, Jenny, for the presentation. In one slide there, you mentioned the additional dredge discard research. Is the intent there to focus on the discard mortality rate or maybe ways of enhancing the prospect of scallop vessels retaining more monkfish?
I think the discussion is focused more on the discard mortality rate and trying to have better, a few different angles, trying to improve monkfish landings. And I don't know if it's feasible to consider the scallop fishery retaining more monkfish, but that is certainly out of my realm of knowledge and would defer to the scallop team for that. But a number of the advisors were considering trying to get more information on the discard mortality rate. And you'll hear from Rachel that rate is potentially going to be reduced from the assumed 100%.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the council? Anyone from the public? Ms. Eitri.
So as noted, this is the last presentation of this performance report. I just wanted to say thank you to both Dr. Feeney, to Ms. Couture, to every member of the PDT, to the advisors who, you know, sat through and gave a lot of really useful information for this report, as well as the committee who shared their insights. I think a lot of the information contained in their report is incredibly timely and hopefully can be a resource for a variety of discussions that the monkfish fishery will be having in the immediate near term.
Ms. Couture.
That's all I have. Thanks.
And so now we're turning it over to Dr. Feeney, who's going to give a presentation about Framework Adjustment 13. And my understanding, this is going to include a brief update about the management assessment and the peer review that has occurred for the stock.
Thanks very much. So to start with an overview of the framework and where we're at right now, this framework is designed to develop and implement specifications for 2023 to 2025. So we are in the process of identifying an overfishing limit and acceptable biological catch for the north and the south, and then setting the flow chart that comes from that, which you can see on the right there. Right now, which I'll get to in the next couple slides, there for the last 6 or so years, there hasn't been a clear pathway, I'll say, between OFL and ABC since analytical assessments have been rejected. So we've been using interim methods until we can get back to an analytical approach, hopefully, in the future. So we did last Thursday, the peer review wrapped up their meetings. We have not seen a peer review report. We didn't even have a draft assessment report in time for your council binder. So it's not in your binder even. We did have a planned team meeting scheduled. Unfortunately, schedule conflicts, we had to have it on Tuesday afternoon during your scallop meeting this week. Where we had some preliminary discussions based on the conversation that occurred at the peer review on how we wanted to potentially move forward with OFL and ABC development. We've also been working on an ongoing project on identifying alternate methods for doing that discard deduction from the ACT to achieve the TAL. So we talked about that, and we also had some committee tasking on the effort control alternatives to work through. So hopefully we'll get a peer review report within the next week or two that we can move forward in finalizing our work on OFL and ABC prior to the SSC meeting to review that work at the end of October. We have a committee meeting to be scheduled, but you know, likely end of November-ish. So we do have some points of input today that would be helpful from the council to help steer the work that we need to do over the next month or two here. So I'm going to go a little bit more into assessment details than I might normally without an assessment report in front of us, but feel like that's necessary to help us understand the current scenario and help us get to final action in December. So 2013 was the last time we had an analytical assessment approved through peer review. There was an age and growth model used. As Jenny said, status was not overfished, overfishing not occurring. We had been managing the fishery at that time since Amendment 5 was finalized in 2011. With an overfishing limit and an ABC control rule. Come along into 2016, and that analytical assessment approach was rejected due to growing concerns about aging, ability to age monkfish. So that assessment, and again in 2019, provided no absolute estimation of biomass or a fishing mortality rate. So the assessment, as approved through peer review, was that the stock status became unknown. However, that was not formally, that status was not formally changed to unknown by NOAA Fisheries. In both of those assessments, a Plan B smooth approach was used, which now in the 2022 assessment has been renamed to iSmooth. So I will be using iSmooth going forward because the instructions are when an assessment fails, do Plan B. So there are a bunch of Plan Bs now out there. So it's a way to help clarify what's happening for monkfish. That iSmooth approach uses recent trends in the Science Center's trawl survey as an index for providing catch advice. There had been a strong 2015 recruitment event noted in both of those assessments. There were survey indices increased for 2016 and 18, but those had declined in 2019. So there was some discussion at the time about, you know, if those had really, recruits had really recruited into the catchable sizes for the fishery. Despite status being unknown, the overfishing limit has continued to be set at the levels that were set back in 2014 to 16. The numbers that they are on the screen, 17, almost 18,000 metric tons in the north, 23,000 metric tons in the south. Those numbers have been status quo. As I said, we had an ABC control rule. It's there on the screen. Average exploitation rate times current exploitable biomass. That recent rate was based on years that are now fairly old. That was rejected for 2016. The SSC rejected use of that control rule. And the iSmooth approach from the assessment was here on the screen, that first little equation. I'm sorry for all the equations, but I need to step through these weeds a little bit for you. To use this trawl survey multiplier times the latest three-year average catch to equal your catch advice. At the time, the multipliers were 1.02 in the north and that should say 0.87. I can't see if, so suggesting a reduction in the south rather than 87%. Excuse me, I should say 102% in the north and 87% in the south. The plan team and SSC ultimately recommended status quo ABCs after considering a couple of methods for setting ABC that are listed on the screen there, including multiplying that multiplier by the latest ABC. There was a great deal of uncertainty around the assessment at that time, and there was just a sense that we should just do status quo rather than the method that the assessment called for. Fast forward 3 years, the assessment still used the iSmooth approach, and the multipliers were 1.2 in the north and even 1.0 in the south. The plan team and the SSC moved forward with rather than using multiplier times average catch, they used the multiplier times the latest ABC to equal the new ABC. So we saw a slight increase. They went with 10% in the north rather than the multiplier of 20% increase and status quo in the south. So my point of all that is that this iSmooth approach has never actually been implemented as designed. So this year, again, all draft, we had a level two assessment, which called for no major changes in the methods, still using iSmooth approach. There were some corrections and updates to data time series. We're awaiting the final report, but There seemed to be apparent consensus in the assessment conclusion that we're still in an unknown stock status situation. The assessment did revise the discard mortality time series to lower the dredge discards mortality from 100% to 64%. There seemed to be consensus around that at the peer review. So that did lower somewhat the overall picture of catch through back through the time series. And the multipliers this time coming from this assessment are 0.829 in the north and 0.646 in the south. So notice these multipliers are much lower than what has come from the last couple of assessments. So again, this proper iSmooth method is to take this multiplier multiplied by 3, your average catch, to equal your catch advice. There was the most discussion at the assessment about whether that was still appropriate approach for setting catch advice for monkfish fishery. We'll wait to see what that report says, hopefully in a couple weeks. We do have another management track expected in 2025, where we'll probably continue using this iSmooth approach. And hopefully with the research track assessment in 2027 that's been now scheduled for that year will address all of these issues more holistically. So I just put on the screen what recent catch and recent ABC, this is the current situation, is for the north and the south. So depending on how these multipliers are applied under either scenario or some other scenario that the SSC approves, we are looking at likely reductions in monkfish ABC. The degree of that reduction is uncertain. So on Tuesday, we discussed all that, and the PDT is likely to recommend that we move the OFL from status quo numbers to an undetermined OFL. We've been preparing ABCs based on this iSmooth approach for setting catch advice as the assessment calls for, but we have been talking about if other approaches are appropriate and justified and awaiting what advice may come from the peer review. I'm going to move on to the discard deduction, get through my slides and address questions. So, this other task that the council has provided us to reevaluate the discard deduction and the methods for setting that, back in April, the council recommended this goal that came from the committee, that this approach should provide as much stability to the direct fishery as possible, minimizing change between specification cycles. So the current approach is to first identify a discard rate, which is the latest 3-year mean discards to catch ratio, and then multiply that discard rate by the annual catch target to equal your expected discards, which you then subtract from the annual catch target to get your total allowable landings in the north and in the south. We're also evaluating use of a longer time series to maybe achieve that goal of stability. We're evaluating the use of straight discards rather than a discard rate, and evaluating the use of a median rather than a mean. We had been doing this work over the summer, and then we did another analysis again with the new time series that has been likely to be approved through the 2022 assessment that lowered the catch time series. You know, we'll note that, you know, really the council is not in Framework 13 identified changing this flowchart as part of the scope of this action, so we're really just focused on identifying that discard deduction at this time. We'll present those methods to the SSC at the end of October and lean on their recommendation for how to move forward. Moving on to action two, which is effort controls. We've been considering, the committee has been considering revising the days at sea and possession limits for the fishery, particularly in the southern area where quota use has been low, trying to optimize landings. The current alternatives that we have in the document, they were revised and simplified based on advisor and committee input at the end of August. So we have, of course, no action. Alternative two would remove the current restriction on the use of days at sea in the southern area. Currently, fishermen in both areas can use 45.2, or allocated 45.2, but they can only use 37 in the south. Alternative three would increase the days at sea overage adjustment in both areas, so that you could use an additional day at sea on a trip. So, for example, you could use 3 days at sea, land 3 days at sea worth of monkfish, rather than two, for trips up to 24 hours long. And then the next alternative would be looking at incidental possession limits. They vary by permit category. There are quite a few of them, actually, but to be increasing all of those incidental possession limits by 25%. And also to increase the limited access possession limits by 25%. There are tables in the document that show the details of how all those limits would increase by the different permits. We've done some preliminary analysis to see how these potential changes may theoretically improve TAL use. We needed to make some assumptions. Regarding the days at sea overage provision, we've observed that there have been very few vessels who have used that current overage provision in the north in the last few years. So we move forward assuming that likely there would be continue to be few vessels who would use an increase in the overage adjustment. Many vessels in the south are using this provision. So we made an assumption in the analysis that vessels that would use this additional overage adjustment are those who are not recently using their full day at sea allocation, which we define as less than 90% of annual day at sea allocation, and that they're currently using the overage provision. And then on the use restriction in the south, we assumed that the vessels that are currently kind of pushing the limit of days at sea use, over 90%, are those that are more likely to use additional days. So just to report some preliminary results, in the north, we found that effort would be unlikely to meaningfully change with an increase in the days at sea overage flexibility. And in the south, increasing that overage flexibility and removing the use restriction would help a subset of vessels, those that use the current overage provision and have a high percent of day at sea allocations. So, you know, TAL may increase by about 4.2% in the south with those adjustments. There are a lot of assumptions going into that analysis, but we had to do something. Relaxing the day at sea use restriction, unlikely to have a substantial impact on monkfish fishing effort, overall day at sea use and landings based on the past 4 years of fishing data. We also tried some exploratory analysis with how possession limit increases might change. We have observed, looking through the last 20 plus years of data, that higher possession limits lead to higher monkfish landings per trip. Looking in aggregate, higher day at sea allocations lead to higher landings per trip as well. We're also seeing landings per trip as a function of the size of the monkfish population available to harvest, measured by the survey indices. We've been exploring development of different regression model approaches to understand better that relationship between the effort controls and the actual landings in the fishery by permit category, but that will not be ready this fall for use in this framework. Finally, action three regards gillnet mesh size. We have two alternatives, or alternative two with two options, that would require, allow an increase to either 11 or 12 inch minimum mesh size when you're using a monkfish day in the groundfish exemption areas where there's currently 10 inch required. And this would be delayed implementation until 2025 so that fishermen could have time to adjust their gear. Looking at the preliminary fishery data in the southern area, at least 96% of monkfish gillnets trips use at least 11 inch mesh already in the last few years. And when we looked at the port level information to try to get at where these fish, where, you know, the impacts by port, many of these ports are confidential, so we'll be a little bit more limited what we can say about port impacts. But the vessels using under 11 inch mesh are mostly located in Rhode Island and New York. Final slide, I promise. So the question after Tuesday's plan team meeting to the committee, but we're not meeting as a committee till the end of November, so we need to ask you today is, you know, should action two, these days in sea and possession limit alternatives change given the likely assessment outcomes? We did float this question to the advisors and the committee at the end of August when we didn't have the benefit of even a draft assessment report, but we had the news that multipliers were going trending down. The advisors at that time felt that effort controls should be no more restrictive than no action, so no decreases in effort controls. The committee's input was that if no action was unlikely to keep the fishery within catch limits, the PET was tasked to develop alternatives that lower days at sea and possession limits. When we discussed this on Tuesday, there was a general sense that a lowering of days at sea has greater potential to reduce catch than a lowering of possession limits, which may shift more landings to discards. We took a look at the current alternatives in the framework and are recommending that you think about actually rejecting alternative three, increasing this overage adjustment in the north and the south, and alternatives four and five that would increase the incidental and limited access possession limits by 25%, and that you consider keeping alternative two that would remove that use restriction. And then regarding this task for new alternatives, that we're leaning towards focusing on lowering the days at sea and preparing a range of alternatives using a similar analysis to what I presented a couple slides ago on how days may impact landings. So we don't have percentages of reductions to present at this point. We just wanted to check in and give you that update and get some feedback if the council is feedback on this idea of narrowing the current range of alternatives, as well as this idea of where the PDT might focus these new alternatives. Sorry, that was long.
Seatree.
First, I just want to say thank you, I think, again, both to you, to Ms. Couture, and the PDT. I realize that you guys not only had to continue doing all the work with the framework, but also had to do a deep dive into history to figure out how we have been applying now iSmooth in past actions. So I just want to thank you for taking that really thoughtful deep dive into history to figure out what we had done in the past to try to come to some type of understanding about what we're supposed to do moving forward. One quick question, and then I would see if others have questions, but just thinking about the recommendations from the PDT, I just want to make sure I have the timeline right for myself and everybody else. So we have the PDT meeting in October, prep for the SSC meeting in late October. Then the PDT will meet again in November after the SSC meeting. The committee will meet in November to make final recommendations. Then as a council, we'll be hopefully taking final action on this in December with the MID, because this is a joint action, taking final action at their December council meeting. And we're doing all of this in hopes that we could have these in place for the start of the fishing year in the spring. Is that, I have the timeline down correctly?
Yes, and the MID is meeting out the week following our December meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Are you ready for questions?
Yes.
Okay, any questions for Dr. Feeney on her presentation so far from the council? Mr. Salerno.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And my first question goes to the current approach using the discard deduction. I think that was slide 18. Where you're basically developing a discard rate equals the latest 3-year mean discards per catch. Is that monkfish catch or total catch in that, is the denominator? Is that total catch from the trip?
That's monkfish catch.
Yeah. Okay,
so across the whole fishery.
So that's just total monkfish catch, not total catch. Because when I'm thinking of how we work in the sector world and developing discard rates, we're actually basing on the discards ratio to the total catch of a trip. So this is just based on the total monkfish catch of the trips up to the fishery. Okay. I was just curious because in my mind, if it was the way I was originally thinking it, that obviously regulations in other fisheries, basically trip limits in other fisheries, would have just as much of an impact on your discard calculation as, you know, the monkfish discards themselves. So thank you, that clears that up. My other question, although seeing the recommendations for the PDT, maybe it's more of a, just of a comment now. When you were talking about on slide 22, your analysis looking at potentially increasing possession limits, obviously that's not on the table, but this goes back to my comment I made to Ms. Couture earlier, is that just because increasing trip limits is not going to, in my mind, potentially does not increase utilization, because if guys are gonna go out, go fishing, land more fish with this more effort, but they're getting the same price as the overall price at the end of the day, it's not a win-win for them. They're not gonna do more work just to get the same or lower price for the day. So I would have encouraged you to maybe look at some of the past information, how I brought up earlier is when the groundfish fishery went from possession limits, groundfish/monkfish trips went from possession limits to unlimited, to see if there was some type of supply and demand component of it reflected in the price. But like I said, as that's kind of off the table now based on the PDT recommendation, I would just kind of throw it in the back pocket if it ever came up again. Thank you.
Yeah, that was an interesting observation you had, and it's something we can look into when the advisors and the committee were giving us, you know, feedback, seeing that trend in price, and, you know, the discussion more was about markets and the demand for monkfish. But that's an interesting point to think about.
Anyone else from the council? Anyone from the public? Ms. Eitri.
If there are no other questions, I believe that's the end of Dr. Feeney's presentation. And if that's the case, I'm getting a head nod. I have a motion prepared. It's not a committee motion, so it will need a second. I'll wait for it to get up on the screen. There we go. Motion that the council move to consider but rejected alternative 3, increased days at sea, a ridge adjustment in the north and south, and alternative 4 and 5, increase incidental and limited access possession limits by 25%. And if I get a second, I'll provide some rationale.
Would anyone like to second this motion? Mr. Papalardo, are you seconding the motion?
Yes, I am.
Ms. Eitri.
Thank you. I offer this motion up after getting the advice from the PDT, and I do so a little bit saddened, but I can't ignore what's coming out of the management track assessment or the peer review. And in light of the timeline that we have to take final action in December, it just does not seem appropriate with potential reductions that we may be having to continue work on these alternatives, which are effort controls hoping to optimize landings. With the thought when we started this discussion around the TAL remaining kind of consistent where it had been in the past, and we're trying to increase landings with that TAL. I will note that I think that there are interesting ideas that I hope that we can put in a, you know, put in a for future consideration later, but at this time for this action, I think this is appropriate.
Mr. Pappalardo, any additional rationale?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion on the board. Discussion on the motion. Mr. Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, fellow council members. Libby, I appreciate the motion, and I'm on the committee, and I support the motion. This just goes to show you how difficult it is to craft alternatives when you're missing a really, really big key important piece of information, such as this level two assessment. We did not have that information, which is why you will see on the last slide that was provided, the AP recommended no more restrictive than no action, but the committee looking forward in into our crystal ball, so to speak, that something negative could come out of this level two assessment, although we did not have that information at the time, that the committee put in there that if no action is unlikely to keep the fishery within the new ACL, that the PDT to make alternatives the lower days at sea and or possession limits. Kind of as a backstop, we put that in there in case the information that we received from this assessment wasn't favorable. And in turn, we are seeking to remove three alternatives from the document that really took us a long time to wrap our heads around and formulate, because we anticipated maybe a neutral or a semi-positive response from that assessment, but in all actuality it went the other direction. So it's hard to be nimble on your feet when you're lacking a really, really key piece of information. And I'm glad that we got that information. We just recently received it. The other thing that I would like to say is that I'm glad that we now have a number to associate with the discard mortality rate. It went from 100% down to 64%. So maybe that'll help help us in the long run by offsetting some of the reductions. Maybe that'll capture some of the reductions that we're going to be forced to make based on the new assessment. So I'm supportive of the motion, and I just wanted to just, you know, explain a little bit on why it was so difficult and why we don't want analysis on the motions that we're posing to be removed, because they're no good motion. There's nothing good there. They're only to increase fisheries, increase landing limits and stuff like that. So I am supportive of this motion. Thank you.
Anyone else from the council? Anyone from the public? Back to the council. Okay, we'll call the question. Is there any opposition to the motion on the board? Any abstentions? Motion passes by unanimous consent. Ms. Eitri.
I don't have any other motions specific. I don't have any other motions for this FMP. I do want to go back to the last slide that Rachel presented, where she was kind of looking for additional feedback. As Mr. Hughes indicated, at the ground, the Mugfish Committee, I think a few of us are well-versed in Plan B smooth and multipliers and catch and that whole discussion. So we did have that thoughtful motion kind of trying to direct the PDT moving forward. And the assessment came back as we were, it seemed like it was indicating. I just want to say for myself, I support the PDT's thought on focusing on lowering days at sea. I don't know if others, because we won't have a committee before the PDT delves into this, if others have different thoughts on that, I would just want to, again, you know, say now might be the time to share that, because we won't have the luxury of a committee meeting before the PDT starts looking into this. So for myself, I support the PDT's recommendation on focusing on lowering days at sea, but would turn to the rest of the council to see if folks have other thoughts on that.
Well, at this point, does anybody have other thoughts on that? There's a way forward. Seeing none, so that will happen. We got to get the PDT to look at lowering days at sea. Anything else, Ms. Etri?
I believe that's it for the Monkfish Committee report.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Doctor. So next, we have EBFM. Mr. Applegate and Mr. Pappalardo. As soon as Andy gets set up, John, we'll get you rolling.